So I assume many of us are mourning last night's loss. So there's a moment to recognize that we will be paying a shiva call sometime soon, at least to one of our friends who is from LA. We have usually a solid LA group here.
Hopefully nothing will bend.
Anyone? No.
Ellie Allison's from LA and he rooted for the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh boy. Alright. No Lushin Hara at this table. So
I root for the Patriots.
I figured that we would discuss what to say and what not to say. Welcome, welcome. Remind me your name?
The Patriots.
Jordan.
Doing nothing.
And you came the first night, right? Okay, welcome. So we're going to discuss what to say and what not to say at a shiva call.
Oh my God.
I'm not joking.
I'm not
going to
say
it.
My friend told me that something that he went to.
You're not going
to
say it.
It's way too inappropriate, but you could imagine, like, it could have possibly been said that he went to his girlfriend's, like, parents.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, like, something so crazy that it's just, like, how cracked out do you have to be to, like, go to a shiva call and say something like that? Like, to this day, I just can't,
Guys, you know...
I know what not to say.
You know what not to say. The question is... Guys, but with all seriousness, okay? With all seriousness... No, thank you. It's a very serious matter. I don't mean to joke about it. It's a very tough time. And people lose loved ones. It's a very serious thing, okay? So, obviously, with a grain of salt, if I make a joke, it's only because I try to lighten up a little bit about the topic, but people really say, guys, this is an open chair. You want to sit here, Menachem?
I just
it's really not. It's not pasha. People say things that they really have to think twice before saying. So, anyone needs a source sheet? The source sheet's down there. I'm sorry.
Happy Rosh Chodesh.
Thank you so much, guys. A good Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh tonight. Chodesh Tov. Okay. So we're going to begin with the first Gemara. Amen. Gemara, Maseches Bava Kama, Lamed Chesem and Aleph. The Gemara relays an incident. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shchivalei Bar Birta. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, he lost a daughter, Rachmana Litzlan. Okay? Amrali Rabbanan Ula. The rabbi said to Ula, Kum Nizel Nechimne. Let us go together and let's console Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Amar Lahu, Rav Ula said back to the rabbis, My Isli, Gabe Nechimta de Bavloi? What do I need, or what business do I have with the consolation of Babylonians? It's called a rabbinic diss, okay? Rabbinic smack talk. Digidufu. That it is heretical. Your consolation of mourners is heretical. Why? What do the rabbis say? Ula's coming out strong, guys. He's saying, "You rabbis, you're conservative. You're reform. You're heretical." Why? What is he saying? Because the rabbis say, "The Amri, my Efshel Ma'aved. What could we have done when you go and you console someone?" You rabbis, what do you do? Terrible rabbis, what do? You go and you say, Nebuch, what could we have done? Sounds like pretty standard, right? What could we have done? But what's wrong with that? He says, Ha, Efshar Lamavid Avde, if you would have had an opportunity to do things differently, you would have? That implies that you are in control. You would have kept this person alive longer? Welcome, welcome. Guys, get him some food, get him a drink. What's your name?
David,
welcome. Yeah. Welcome. Shmuel Lesher. We're discussing what not to say at a shiva call.
BNB Braja and vote for
not say. What's up, dog?
So therefore, he says, it sounds like when the rabbis went and they gave him, does anyone want to pass him some dumplings here? The president? So, the rabbi said, what could we have done? When they go, they console someone, they say, what could we have done? We couldn't have done anything differently. And Ula says, that is totally inappropriate because you're implying that we human beings would have had the choice to do things differently, and we're not accepting the fate that God has chosen for us. And one of the areas of life that we have no control over is life itself, right? We have no control over if our heart is going to beat. We have no control over whether our lungs will work. We are totally in the hands of God, and therefore Ula calls out these rabbis and he says, you guys are heretical when you say this type of consolation. So what does Ula say? What's Ula's preferred way of consolation? Check it out, and guys, get ready for some really intense stuff, and just bear with it, because we're going to see there's a whole discussion of who we actually rule like. Are we going to rule like Ula, or are we going to rule like the rabbis? So just get ready. Here's Ula's heartwarming consolation. Okay? As you can see, I actually printed the English for you. I tried my best to give all the translations that I could find online. So, what does Ula say? Ula says the following, okay? He says, you know what? I'm not going to go with these rabbis from Babylonia who have these heretical consolations of people who are in mourning. I'm going to go myself. He went by himself to console Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who lost a daughter, Rachmana Litzlan. Omer Le, he says, Havi Omer Hashem said, Al titzar es Moav al tisager bom bilchama. It says about the, when it comes to the nation of Moab, it says in the Pasuk that Hashem said, do not be an enemy with Moab, neither contend with them in battle. Okay. And the question is, V'chima Allah al-Daito, Shelo Moshe lasos, Milchama Shelo Bershus, Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hashem's talking to in this context. Hashem saying, don't start up with Moab. The question is, why would Moshe think to start up with Moab? Moshe Rabbeinu is only going to follow what Hashem tells him to do. So the Gemara says, no. Ela nasa Moshe kal v'chomer be'atzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu would have made a kal v'chomer in a priori, right? Everyone know that? A priori logic. He would have said the following. He would have said, Uma midyanim shulo bo'el la'azuretz Moab. You guys know the story of Bilam and Balak? I always get them mixed up. Bilam was the guy, the prophetic cursor, and Balak was the king. So Balak, he wanted to kill the Jews. Who did he get? He got Bilam. So Bilam, he's from Midian, okay? What?
Yep.
Bilam is only helping the Moavim destroy the Jews. So we say, if the Midianim, think Bilam in your mind, they only came to help the Moavim kill the Jews, and Amr Torah Vitzara Atem Midyanim, Vekisim Osam. The Torah says, go out and be, you know, be a thorn in the side of those Moavim. Those Midyanim. If we say that about the helpers, then Kol Shekin, we should say Moavim Atzman, Lo Kol Shekin. Certainly, you can go out and wage war against the Moavim themselves who came and killed you. So we have the enemy and we have the enemy sidekick. If you say about the enemy sidekick, you could go and wage war against him. Welcome, Shlomo. Good to see you. Do you want some dumplings?
Nothing.
You sure?
Yeah.
Some Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Sore Sheet.
That's the best.
Sore Sheet. Sore Sheet's the best. Yeah. Just pass one down for my man, Shlomo. So, if we say about the bad guys' sidekicks, the Midyanim, you could be a thorn in their side. Then certainly the Moavim, the people themselves who are your enemy, you're allowed to wage war. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to wage war himself. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to wage war himself without God telling him to go. But Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, don't go. Don't wage war. Why not? So the Torah, the Gemara asks, why not? I'm going to look at Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo! Kol Shal Asa Dayotach. Not like you think that you should go wage war against the Midyanim. Guys, remember, this is all what Ula is telling Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda in the Shiva house. He's giving him all the Shtikl Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu would have made a Kal V'chomer to go and fight the Midyanim. I'm sorry, the Moavim. No, Torah Hashem says, don't fight the Moavim. Don't go against them. Don't wage war against them. Why not? Shtei Predos Tovos Yishli. I have two fledglings. I have two chicks that are going to come out from these nations. Who are they? What do you say? Rus, very good. And?
Na'ama.
Na'ama, very good. Rus, Hamoavia, V'na'ama ha'emonis, Rus, and Na'ama are going to come out of these nations. Therefore, do not attack these people, because David HaMelech, very good, David HaMelech in the forefront, in the is being foreshadowed, perhaps, because he's a descendant of Rus. So don't start up with these nations, because Hashem will redeem, will have a redeeming person who is going to come from these nations. Okay. Listen to this, guys. Brace yourself for some really intense consolation here. Shmelz, welcome. Want to sit down and learn some Torah? You're learning on your own. Good for you. He's a little embarrassed. He's a good guy, guys. Eitan Shmelz. So what does Ula say? Ula says the following. He makes another a priori logical argument. He says, are these matters not, you know, a logical a priori? Right, the way they translate here. And are these matters not inferred a priori? It's not a priori. I made a mistake. It's a fortiori. I'm sorry. Yeah. You should have corrected me. Okay. It's fortiori. You should have corrected me.
That's a legal law.
You got it to correct me.
Like maybe
a priori is previous knowledge going into the right. Fortiori, I apologize. No, made a mistake. I apologize. Fortiori, no. Anytime I make a mistake, you better correct me.
I get a phone call
10 minutes later. Rav Lesher.
My grandfather and my grandmother used to speak different dialects in Yiddish. Mm. And you know, my grandfather and his brother.
They would correct each other.
Grandmother, no, because they thought like, oh, you don't know how to speak proper Yiddish.
Different dialects.
But I don't want to make fun of your Greek.
This is totally a misapplication of the fortiori principle. So, we got to use our Latin properly. Uma bishvil shtei predos tovos chasakadosh baruch hu al beis umos gedolos v'lo harchivan. If God had mercy on these two large nations because of two little fledglings, two little chicks, right? Vito shel Rebbe, the daughter of Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, you are such a great Torah scholar. Your own daughter, im kosher ahi, if she was worthy of being saved, v'ru'uya hi latzeis mimenu davar tov, and anything good would have come out of your daughter, a'achas kama v'kama dehave chaya, would God not have let her stay alive? Whoa. Must be that your daughter was a no good, Nick. And nothing good would have came out of her, so thank God she died.
That is a horrible way.
A horrible thing to say, right?
It's a little hard.
I told you, brace yourself. I told you. Shtar.
That was way worse than
right? Way worse than anyone could have. Zalman, was this worse than your friend told your girlfriend's, whatever, your friend's girlfriend? Was it worse or better? You told me your friend went to his girlfriend.
That was way worse.
He was worse than this.
Way worse.
Whoa. No. You can't say. All right. I thought it was not going to be worse.
No. Now we got to know. Shlomo, you can't even say the words.
You can't say the words. You can't say it.
We don't know.
WhatsApp girl.
You can't. You can't even come to think the words. Okay, guys, let me ask you some questions here. What in the world is going on over here? Ula says that the rabbis who said, what could we do? Nebuch, she died. That's heretical. You know what he says? God would have saved your daughter if anything would have anything good would have come out of her. What is going on over here? What? So Zev is saying, well, I guess that's true. Zev is saying, he's just saying the facts. Well, maybe, generally when people lose someone close to them, we don't just state the facts. It's not sensitive. It doesn't, right? But I hear your point. Zeb is saying maybe he's just telling him, listen, it must be that this is what Hashem wanted.
What is Ula's line of thinking? Like, the rabbi said radical stuff, but they have a logic and a thesis behind it. He just sounds like a jerk. That's not how you console anyone.
Right? Right. No one wants to hear that. For sure. I'm not sure. Guys, I'm totally on board with you, and I want to show you that we're going to see there's different explanations of what Ula was saying. Zev might have been onto something. Zev said Ula's just telling him that this is what God wanted. This is what God wanted. Again, maybe he's trying to make him feel better. Hard to say in the words, right? The words don't sound so...
Well,
Baruch Dynamis, very good. We say Hashem is the ultimate judge. Blessed be the judge. So let's just, yeah.
It also begs the question, if we die and we achieve our purpose, then what's the point in being good? If we are bad, then we'll live forever because we never achieve our purpose.
Hmm.
For good, we achieve our purpose, and guess what? It's off with your head. Like,
well, the question is, what's the purpose of life? Meaning, if the purpose of life is to do good, then the more good you can do...
But if you are too good, then you die.
He's not saying you're too good, you die. He's saying that if anything would have, you know, anything, any good descendants, anything in the future also would have come out, she would have been alive. She would have stayed alive. But it's a very good point. The question really is, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone would be advised by their Rebbe to say this. So how could Ula say this, right? It's okay. So on the spot, in Muki Yosef, one of the commentators on the Rif, source number two, guys, he says, what's the pshat? What's the explanation for Ula? It's similar to what Zev was saying and what Zalman was saying. Similar explanation. It's a little bit hard to swallow, but here we go. Let's be courageous. Let's learn the sources, and then we'll try to analyze them, but let's see what they say first, and then we can start with our own opinions and feelings. What do the sources say? So Muki Yosef says, Shema Amino, we see from this Gemara, someone who says, what could we have done, is saying something heretical. Megadev. Ella, what should he do? Chayiv Adam, Lekabel, Gezeros, Hamakom, Yisbarach, Me'ahava. A person needs to, again, at a very high level, perhaps we're not, you know, Shiva is a time where we mourn it. I don't think this is necessarily going to be the first day of Shiva, the second day of Shiva, but it's a process that a person comes to, an acceptance, right? There's a certain mourning process which halacha is very much reflects in the halachas of Avelis, reflect this, that you come to a sense of acceptance and you leave the mace behind and you come to a place where you're mekabel, you accept the gezira, the decree of Hashem, from love. Ke'inyin shenemar gam es hatov. It says in Eov, Vam is a Tov. And then it says, this is what Zalman quoted for you, the Gemara in Brachos, and then Dalet and Aleph. Right, Zalman? Right? Chayev, Adam Levarech, Alha, Ra'a. I think I put it in the footnotes, perhaps. No, I didn't. Okay, I'm sorry. Right here. Chayev, Adam Levarech, Alha, Ra'a, Kishim, Jemarech, Alha, Tova. That's what you, Zalman, that's what you're quoting. Correct? That just as we bless Hashem for the good, we have to bless Hashem for the bad. We say Baruch Dayan Emes. Okay?
We don't say
the bracha of Hatovu Meitiv in this world. We don't say Hatovu Meitiv, it is good, it is better in this world when it comes to people passing away. We say Baruch Dayan Emes. But this Gemara in Brachos is definitely a source for appreciating Hashem's hashkacha, His divine providence, even in things that don't seem to fit and feel good. And yet, even though that sounds pretty compelling and pretty supportive of Ula, not like the rabbis, the Yamshul Shlomo, Baruch Hashem, I was so happy, Rav Shlomo Luria said things that I was thinking myself, and I... Whenever that happens, I feel very validated. The Yamshul Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Luria, somewhat of an iconoclast. He was a very independent thinker. Let's see what he has to say about this Gemara.
Is this in English also or
not? I did not translate this. I apologize. But I will translate it my best with you here. So look down at source number three. His commentary is called the Yamshul Shlomo. It's a commentary on the Maseches Bava Kama, which is our Masechta this year that we're learning in Yeshiva. So he says, if you look at the Rif and the Rosh, I'm in the bolded third paragraph, Lo Evi'u Kol Zeh, the Rif and the Rosh, our poskim, our halakhic decisors, they do not quote this Gemara. They don't quote it. He says, Shema Mina, we see from this, the less Luhu Nefkusa Bidina. There's no halachic ramification in this Gemara. It's just a story. The Menuka Yosef said, there is a halacha. Shema Mina is a language of halacha. We hear from this. The Menuka Yosef said, you can't say what the rabbis say. You can't say, what could we have done? And you also have to accept God's decrees with love. The Yamshul Shlomo says, what are you doing? Nothing doing. this is not true. How do I know? The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef was a Risho, and he's much earlier than the Yamcha Shlomo. How could he just come and argue? The answer is, it's the lack, the negative proof. The other Rishonim, the Riff and the Rush, don't quote this. The fact they don't quote it shows that this is kind of like, it's a story in the Gemara. It's important. There are lessons here we can delve into. But it's not a halacha. It's not teaching us normative practice of Judaism. Okay. And what does he say? Not only that, he says even more. He says, Ki les hilgasa ke'ula l'gabi rabbanan. Ula is not going to be the one that we follow in the face of a majority of rabbis. Ella, what does he say? Shari, it is permitted l'nachim b'chol inyan. Whatever the person needs to hear, that's what you do. You console them with what they need to hear. Okay? Then he says, he actually says it's not heretical. He has to defend it, right? How could you say, the Ula says it's heretical, the Yom Shoshoma says it's the best. Well, it's the best option. What do you mean? The Ula says it's heretical. So what was the Rabbanim thinking? The Rabbanim were thinking, he goes on to explain, I'll tell you outside, he says that he was trying to show them Ma, right, what's the language of the rabbis were Ma, what was the Lashon? What could we have done? So he says that is a language that we use, and he brings a lot of proofs for this. We use that language when someone's in pain, and we're saying that this is painful, and we wish that this didn't happen. And Hashem is the one who's in control. We're not challenging God's providence. We're just saying that what does this help, so to speak? What does all this pain help? What does it help? It doesn't help. We're feeling like I was once at a very, very terrible levaya of a chavrusa of mine. I learned Musar Seder with him in yeshiva in Israel, in the Mir, and he passed away, just had a baby with his wife, passed away, must have been 28, 27, something like that. Terrible. Just no warning or anything. And I remember my Rosh Yeshiva, from my previous yeshiva, he just said, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, enough's enough. Like, he said something like that. He was crying. He was saying, like, enough. Like, what do you want from us? So, like, that's what the Yom Shlomo is saying. It's almost like we're feeling this pain, and we're saying, the rabbis are saying, what is this mean? Like, what could we, why is this, what does this pain do for us? Like, what does this do? Not, Chas V'Shalom, to challenge what Hashem is doing, but almost just to feel the pain, and to feel the other person's pain. And the Marshal says even more. He says it's impossible to say that what Ula was saying is the halacha because he was really paining. It was actually painful to the person who was listening. And that was my favorite. The favorite part I found about this Yom Shoh Shlomo. He says it's crazy. He says. I don't see it. Okay. I remember the Yom Shoh Shlomo saying that, I remember him saying that Ula was actually paining the person listening, Rav Yishmael Bar Yehuda, and it cannot be that we can follow Ula. Okay. Now, here comes the problem. The Rama argues with the Marshal, the Yom Shoh Shlomo. The Rama sides with the Nemuka Yosef. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 4. Oh my goodness! Hilchos Avilos Simin Shinayim Vav. Look at the Sif Bees. So it says you shouldn't say Val Yomer Adam La'Avil. Don't say to someone who's mourning, Malcha Lasos Ki Efshal Lashanos. What could we have done? We couldn't have done anything different. You should not say that. Shizel Kegiduf, exactly the Muki Yosef said. This is heretical to say that. Dimnashma, it implies, you would have changed things if you had the choice. Now, what's wrong with that, by the way? I would have changed things if I would have had the choice. This is terrible. I can't believe this person's not with us anymore. Obviously, I believe in Hashem's providence, but I wish I could have changed it. So that might be, problematic because it's implying that you don't trust in Hashem's providence. But at the very least, the Amshul Shlomo said a little bit more liberally. You could do whatever works, whatever feel. You don't have to say this exact language, but you could say like I wish he was still here. You know, we miss him. You know, but he says no. You have to accept the gzeros of Hashem Me'ava, literally a word for word quote from the new Muki Yosef.
But
yeah.
There's really no way, like, just about all this, there's no way to, like, console a mourner. You know, I mean, you can...
I'm not talking... You can't fix what happened.
There is
a value that I think is... that people feel, even if you don't say anything, but there's something called the power of presence. And that's what I want to talk about at the end, when we talk about the do's and don'ts of Shiva, which I want to do with you a little bit. Is that even if you just go and you don't say anything, you just say Hamaki Menachem, a person feels that you're there for them. And a lot of times people feel, like especially when someone's going through something hard, or someone has cancer, or they lost a parent, or whatever it is, they feel almost like I felt this way. I had a friend whose mother was very, very sick, and I sometimes felt like I don't even know what to say. And I would avoid that guy. I would avoid him. Why? Because I was uncomfortable being around him. And my mother told me, it was such a wise thing, I told her this, and my mother said, she said, you, the people who are going through cancer are going to be left alone because everyone's afraid to, they don't know what to say. You don't know what to say? Don't say anything. Just be around them. Just be, a support for them. And I think it's a very powerful thing. People are so uncomfortable that they make the wrong choices and they decide, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to ask him how he's doing. Oftentimes, again, you could say the wrong thing and you have to be careful. But at least go over to the person and be present. Okay. I think a general question of how you're feeling is not so... if you're friends with him, you know? But again, every situation is different. I'm just saying, don't say nothing, because nothing also hurts. Right? If you're not sure, maybe ask someone who's close with them. Exactly. The Taz jumps all over the Marashah. The Marashah says, I can't even believe the Marashah says what he says. He says it's impossible to say the halakhas like the Rabbanan. It's crazy. He goes on a whole rant. Okay. The bottom line is, the Ramah in general, not always, but the Ramah is generally how we follow. The halakha follows the Ramah generally. So if you want to just bottom line it, I would say that it seems that you should not say what Ula says. I think that's pretty straightforward. You don't have to say what Ula says, but you also, maybe according to the Ramah, should avoid saying the words of, what could we have done? So, you know, you don't have to say either of those. That's what I would say if I was being safe. I would just say avoid either formulation, because, you know, Ula's formulation, I think we could all agree, is probably not going to work for most of us. But even the Rabbanan's formulation, you'd want to just avoid it because the Ramah says it might be heretical. Okay. Now, practical guide. I want to go through a little bit of the halachas of Avelus and Pinyan Shiva Kol. Yes, Salman.
But, if it's heretical, say what could we have done? I would say that we can't do anything. We have no control over this world. We have no control over our fate in this world.
We don't control who lives or dies. Again, unless they put themselves in a place of danger.
The Hashem decides who lives and dies.
Correct.
But the actions
we have choices. Correct. We do affect things. I don't mean to say that. But at the end of the day, if a person dies, we believe that was God's providence. Once he's dead, there's nothing to do. People start saying, okay, we could talk about this. People start saying, well, did you get the best doctor? You don't say that in a Shiva house. Okay? Number one, don't talk about what you could have done in the hospital and you have the best doctor, okay? Just to give a little bit of an introduction to the general halachos, I've been to many Shiva houses. It happens to be some people just, Baruch Hashem, don't generally go to Shiva houses. I mean a lot. I mean, over my life, I've been to many, you know, a considerable amount. So just to give you a sense of what happens, I don't know how many of you are experienced with this, but when people lose a parent, they or a child, Rachman al son, they are generally they set 7 days. Shiva is 7 days from the time that the person is buried. When visiting a Shiva house, callers usually walk in or enter a quiet knock on the door to alert the residents of their presence. The callers are not guests. They are not greeted. They are not ushered in. They are not offered food or drink. That's true for Ashkenazic practice. In Sephardic Shiva houses, I think the custom is actually to eat. Not going into the... Always food with the Sephardim. They know how to do things. They know how to... But generally, my experience has been there is not food. The mourners do not rise to greet them. Sometimes they do, and again, you don't tell the person what to do. This is not your time to tell them. Sit down, man. What are you doing? Callers may bring a gift or a food if they wish, but it is not expected. Okay. Yes, Menachem. No, you should not stand up. You should not stand up. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, they're in a different state. They're mourning. But I could look into that. It's a good question. I don't think that they. I don't think they do. But I could look into it. They don't bring flowers. That's not a Jewish thing, generally. A mourner is not greeted with shalom. You do not say shalom to the mourner or shalom aleichem. He is not at peace. Right? He's not at peace right now. He or she is not at peace. Similarly, the mourner should not greet others on his way out or his way in. Not only that, not even visitors to a shiva house should greet one another, right? He says there are different opinions. Again, I'm actually reading from a summary of the do's and don'ts of a shiva house by Rabbi Jack Abramowitz. He says that there are different opinions as to what you're allowed to say. Hello, good morning, different things. The general accepted practice is not to extend one's hand. Generally, what I do is I just go and I sit down, and the person's usually either talking, or I'll wait for them to initiate. You don't initiate. The mourner is supposed to initiate. Men and women. Men may pay a shiva call to a woman, and a woman may pay a shiva call to a man, but they have to ensure that there is not going to be any issue of yichud, seclusion. Okay. There is a famous halacha that it's more important to do a shiva call than to do bikur cholim. Why? Because shiva is both a kindness for the living and the dead, whereas bikur cholim, visiting someone who's sick, is just for the living. Many people are in fear of saying the wrong thing and they don't go. They're very anxious or they don't go. It would be advisable for someone who's going to gather his thoughts before going, and just think, what is he going to say, making sure he doesn't say something that is offensive. Just use your seichel, use your common sense. Meaningless, statements as he lived a long life, or at least he's not suffering. These type of things should be avoided. Avoid the following suggestions that the deceased can be replaced, such as you'll meet someone else. You could have more kids. These are things you just do not want to say. Comparing the bereaved situation to one's own situation, right? Although you want to feel for the person, it's not appropriate to say, I know exactly how you feel. There are crazy people, guys. Mamish crazy people. Really, it's just common sense. Really, it's just common sense. I don't want to... I'll tell you one story, and I could just tell you from my own personal experience. I don't think my friend and I had ever been to a shiva house together. We were in high school, and unfortunately, one of the rebbeim was hit by a car, and he passed away. So we went. He wasn't a rebbe of who we were particularly close with, but you know we were close enough that we felt the loss. It was he wasn't like our gemara rebbe or whatever, but we had him. I had him for chumash and other things. I think navi. And I remember we went to his house. He had, I hope his wife is doing okay. He had a wife, three kids. And my friend came over to him, to his wife, at the end, and everyone was going over, and you say a piece from the, they usually have a card out, and you say, HaMaki Minachem Eschem Besoch Shari Etzilin Avei Etzilin Yerushalayim. May you be consoled with the rest of the mourners of Israel. And my friend just said to her, again, he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. He just thought he has to say what he has to, He said, your husband was always so warm to me. Your husband was always caring about me. Now, you have to understand, this Rebbe was a very cynical, sarcastic, funny, and very, again, a sweet person, but like, his wife said to him, "Did you know my husband?" Right? She said, like, that's not who my husband was. Like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, what do you mean? So, my friend meant he didn't offend her, but at the end of the day, you want to think before you speak. It's really the two most dropping examples that I saw in this article. What he said that people said that he encountered was, number one, it's a shame she didn't die a month earlier so you can name the baby after her. And this was also said, you're so lucky now because you have someone to daven for you in Shemayim. Use your common sense. Do not say these type of things. When to leave, okay? When to leave. This is a question that a lot of people don't know. When to leave. So, in general, 15 minutes to 20 minutes is enough, okay? You don't need to be there. You maybe shouldn't be there. The person's falling asleep or they seem overwhelmed. I was at another Shiva house, and at the time when he was still the president, President Joel was there. And he was talking for a while. He had known the person's father who had passed away. And he sensed that everyone was a little bit intimidated by him. And I'm very impressed by this. And he said, I know that other people don't feel they can talk now that I'm here. And I'm going to leave. And he left. He was there, I don't know, 15 minutes, something like that. And he didn't say it in an arrogant way. He said, I know, like
more important. I'm done.
No, he's like, I know.
You guys can all talk now.
No, no, no. I'm serious. I thought it wasn't again. The way I felt in that place, I felt like he understood. He's like, I feel like people, you know, people don't feel, you know, comfortable, whatever. He said it in a way. I don't remember the exact language he used, but I felt that I was be aware of your situation, be aware of your social context. 15 to 20 minutes really suffices. Again, if the person's talking to you and they want to talk, that's something else. You know, you start going like. You know, that's just inappropriate, you know, like pointing to your watch. You know, buddy, my rabbi said 15 minutes. Like, you know, that's ridiculous. But at the same time, the person's very tired, the person's overwhelmed. You should be sensitive to that.
Look for their needs.
Look for their needs, don't focus on your own. Be sensitive to the state of the emotional level that people are at. Don't start going in there and, you know, being all upbeat and smiley. You know, it's a lower feel. People are in mourning. You don't make jokes, okay? I've been at Shiva houses where the person who lost a wife was cracking jokes and he was saying funny things. Okay, you can appreciate the person for what he's doing and different people have different ways of coping. And it's not for it's not for you to judge of how he's doing and or she and. But you're not supposed to be the dictator of the mode of the mood of emotions and feeling. Last thing, do turn off your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Let them lead and talk.
I think you let them lead. Again, I don't think you have to go and like be there for 45 minutes talking about the Yankees, but like if they want to talk about the Yankees, you know, talk to them about it. Not everyone wants to do, again, it's a long time, it's 7 days. Not everyone wants to go through a whole, you know, a deep dive into Musar and Tshuva every single day, 12 hours a day, you know. It's just hard sometimes. So people, sometimes they see you, they're like, oh, like, I could talk to him about sports. I feel so overwhelmed that I was just here with five rabbis for like 20 hours. You know, I want to schmooze with you. Like, sometimes that's relief. You have to know the situation. Turn off your cell phone. Be prepared with memories of the deceased. If you know the person who died, think about the person and think maybe you could share a memory. Be mindful of the different avelim that are all at the Shiva at the same time and different needs. Let them cry, express pain openly, right? Be comfortable with quiet. Sometimes that's what's needed most. Listen with empathy, even to feelings of guilt, if expressed. Listen, don't say, no, you'll be fine, don't be guilty, it's not your fault. Again, you can know what the right things are to say. sometimes that is the right thing to say, but generally, just listening is better safe than sorry, just to listen. Don't ask questions to satisfy curiosity. Oh, how long was he in the hospital for? Again, not terrible, but don't just do it out of curiosity. Don't tell your own stories. It's not about you. Don't have side conversations with other people visiting. Minimize or discount pain, right? Don't minimize other people's pain. Don't say, be strong, you know? Better to say, I feel your pain. Not that you shouldn't feel this way. And initiate discussion Don't initiate discussion about death or medical history. If they talk about it, they're talking about it. Don't initiate. And the bottom line is, if you're not sure what to say, just your presence alone shows the person you care. Bottom line is, I think the Marshal was correct in the sense of do what works, but we do avoid halakhically the statement of what could we have done. And in terms of what you say and what you don't say, be mindful of the person's feelings, and you know, it's not about you, it's about being there for the other person. Okay, next time we'll take a little bit less of a heavy topic. I think we're going to discuss, is Judaism rational? Covering different areas within that question for tomorrow night.